Okay. But before we start with that message, I want to give a little review. I hope everyone was paying attention on, I don't even know what day it was. It was the first day, message one, where Ethan gave us a good word about the conscience, fellowship, and intuition. But Matt, let's have Matt just have a little, just do a very short review. Living, active, and shining forth Christ. Okay, it's really quick.
Amen. Living and active. There's three functions of our spirit.
Right.
There's the conscience, the fellowship,
Amen.
And the intuition.
Amen.
And the conscience is sort of our alarm system.
Yeah.
It distinguishes right and wrong.
Right.
You know, if you're in a place where you're not supposed to be, your conscience will probably rise up. And you'll probably feel something. Oh, maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe this is not right. And the second, the fellowship. I really appreciate what Brother Ethan said about it. If your friend's talking about something about Netflix, and maybe it's not necessarily, Netflix not necessarily wrong, but maybe when you're talking about it, you feel you've lost the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And this is the fellowship. And the last one, which is a little bit more mysterious, is the intuition. And this is a direct speaking from God.
Amen.
So I just appreciate this because we do get direct speaking from God.
Amen.
Especially when he shines us in the morning, and then when we maybe commit sin, and then we repent, we just apply the blood. And now the fellowship, the intuition, our conscience, it's back on track.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Wasn't that an awesome word, what Ethan shared about our conscience, fellowship, and intuition? So now let's read the title of this message altogether.
Exercising our spirit and walking according to the spirit.
Exercising our spirit and walking according to our spirit. Amen. Let's all say my spirit.
My spirit.
Our spirit.
Our spirit.
Now say my spirit.
My spirit.
Now say our spirit.
Our spirit.
Okay. I remember a brother used to always share and always used to say in Spanish, no soy gato ni soy perro, pero soy un hombre con un espíritu, which means I'm not a cat or a dog, but I'm a man with a spirit.
Amen.
So awesome that we have a human spirit, and our conscience needs to be always cleansed and washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I like this verse, Romans 9:1, which says, I speak truth in Christ, and I do not lie. And my conscience is always void of offense before God and man. And another verse in Acts 24:16, it says, I always exercise my spirit, and I always exercise my conscience, it says. And so we need to exercise our spirit, exercise our conscience constantly so that we would not be beasts. We don't want to be animals. And so the other one is the fellowship that enables us to contact God and have communion with God. So in John 4:24, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truthfulness. And so our fellowship with God, that's the worship to God. And so when we're worshiping God, we're fellowshipping with God. And also, Ephesians 6:18, it talks about praying. And so when we're praying, we're fellowshipping with God.
Amen.
And then also in Romans 1:9, it's serving. And so when we're picking up the plates, wiping the tables, we're serving in our spirit. And that's to have fellowship with God. And then the last one is the intuition, which is the Lord's direct speaking. And in that verse, 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says that a spiritual man knows the things of man, and also says a spiritual man knows the spiritual things. And so even if you want to know man, if you want to know another person, you must be a person who lives in your spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so I just want to keep impressing you before we get into the outline on this matter of our spirit. And the first verse I want to share is Proverbs 20:27. In that verse it says that the spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah. Our spirit is the lamp of Jehovah. And so before we're regenerated, our spirit is an empty lamp. It does not have light in it. But once we're regenerated, God as light comes into our spirit.
Amen.
And we have light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we no longer have an empty lamp, but we have a lamp that shines forth Christ. Amen. And then another verse that one of the brothers touched before is 1 Peter 3:4. And in 1 Peter 3:4, it says that we have a hidden man. And it says that the hidden man of the heart is of a meek and quiet spirit. But what I really appreciated out of that verse is that it says that it's adorned, of an, it's incorruptible adornment is of a meek and quiet spirit. And so, you know what, to adorn something is to make it pretty and to make it beautiful. And this may be for the sisters, but also for the brothers. If you want to be pretty in the sight of God, you need to be a person who lives in your spirit.
Amen.
The most beautiful part of our being, it's in the depths of our being, and that's our spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it says at the end of that verse, it says that it's costly in the sight of God.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
If we live in our spirit, we're beautiful.
Amen.
And we're costly in the sight of God.
Amen.
And then the last verse is Ephesians 3, chapter 3. And in that whole chapter, it speaks about the inner man. And so once we're regenerated, when we receive the life of God, our spirit becomes the inner man. And it says that our inner man is always aggressive and active in living and wanting to live the Lord out. And so we need to be strengthened with power through his spirit into our inner man so that Christ may make his home in our hearts.
Amen.
And so this is how our spirit is an amazing thing, because it's not simply just to be happy in the meetings or be, joyful, which is a part of it, but it's to fulfill God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
Our spirit is to fulfill God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
Amen. So let's all read Roman numeral 1.
We need to exercise our spirit so that we may receive the Lord more.
Amen.
And we can live a godly life to manifest God.
Amen. And so in 1 Timothy 4:7, this verse says that we need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. And so there's an aspect of the exercise of the Spirit, which we heard about earlier, that is to exercise the conscience, fellowship, and intuition. But also the exercise of our spirit causes us to live the Lord out, to live a life of godliness. And so what is godliness? Godliness, in simple terms, is a godly living. It's to have a godly life. And so in 1 Timothy 3:16, it says that, "And confessedly great is the mystery of godliness, he who was manifested in the flesh." And so the Lord Jesus, well, God became a man, Jesus, and he lived on the earth. And he was God manifested in the flesh, meaning he expressed God. And so now he is living in all of us, and now we have the opportunity, the privilege to manifest God.
Amen.
We can manifest God in our daily life. And so in 1 and 2 Timothy, there's you should write this down, there's a life essence in these two books. And the life essence is what Brother Ken shared about a couple nights ago, that it is God's plan and God's economy. And what is his plan and his economy, Spencer?
To dispense.
Amen. Yeah. A little stronger.
His economy is to dispense himself into man.
Amen. Yeah. Yes, his economy is to dispense himself into us.
Amen.
It's to get inside of us.
Amen.
He wants to get inside of us, and this life, this dispensing, produces a life of godliness. It produces a life that expresses God. And so in England, I've been to England before, but in England there are drugstores, but they do not call the drugstores, they call them dispensaries. And so in these dispensaries, they are dispensing drugs like, you know, Tylenol or whatever, into these lifeless bottles, you know. And so these bottles do not render these people or these machines any cooperation because they're lifeless. But we are not lifeless vessels. We are not lifeless bottles. We're full of life, but we may be full of our own opinions, our own concepts, our own preferences, taste. We're filled with so many things, and so God needs our cooperation. Amen. And he needs our cooperation so that we could, so that he could come inside of us.
Amen.
And so I was listening to a message from another brother in the West Coast who shared this message, and he said that what does it really mean to exercise your spirit? And he said he got this from a book, from one of the ministry books. It's Fellowshipping with the Lord and the Mingling of God and Man. And he said, to exercise our spirit is actually it's using our will to move our spirit. To move our spirits. And so with that, let's read A. Let's read A and 1 on the outline. Okay, brothers on one. Brothers, when you read, just pay attention. Read one.
The word in Greek for exercise is the basis of the English word gymnastics. To participate in gymnastics, one must use all his energy to exercise his whole physical being. We must exercise our spirit in the same way.
Bodily exercise profits a little bit, right? But we have Marquise here who used to play football. And when you exercise to play football, when you worked out, it required a lot of your will, right? You chose to do it. And you doing stadiums, up and down, running, doing suicides, right? Where you guys know what suicides are, where you run, you touch the ground. And you run back, and you touch another part of the ground, you know, and run back and forth, and you keep touching the ground and running back and forth. It's really, it's beating to your body. But this is, it's not a good word.
Yeah.
And so this is what you do when you exercise. It requires a lot of your will. But a lot of times when we want to exercise, we make a lot of excuses for ourselves. It's like, no, you know, I don't want to do it this morning or this day because, you know, a bunch of things can come up. But we need to exercise our will to move our spirits,
Amen.
To move our spirit, to be a man of God. This is what it is to exercise your spirit unto godliness, is to be a man of God. And it reminds me of that song, "When I Grow Up, I want to be a man of God. I want to be someone who is full of life. I want to be someone who loves the Lord, and so I choose to be a man of God. There's nothing else in the world I'd rather be." Okay. Is it not a good song? It's a children's song, but it really applies to our daily life today. I want to be a man of God who's full of life,
Amen.
Who chooses to be a man of God. And so just like when we walk, we exercise our feet and our legs, there's a way to exercise our spirit, and it's to pray. It's to pray. And when we pray in our spirit, what do? We do four things. Write this down. We touch God. When we pray in our spirit, we touch God, we contact God, touch, contact, worship God, and the last one is awesome, we meet God. So let's all say those four points together. When we pray, we touch God, we contact God, we worship God, and we meet God. I have a little personal experience. It was a point of time where, believe it or not, I would wake up early in the morning to go for a run, to go exercise, and I would run. And I did this for a very long time. But then one day, the Lord just touched me, and he said, you know, you can wake up early in the morning to go exercise your physical body, but you can't wake up early in the morning to touch me, to exercise your spirit, to meet with me. Why can't you do this? And I was like, I don't know. You know, I continued to wake up and to exercise until the Lord touched me even further to have a time with the Lord before I do anything else, to meet God,
amen,
to fellowship with God.
Amen.
Amen. And when we fellowship with God and when we pray with God, this allows our spirit to be opened up wide. Our spirit opens up so wide and allows the Lord to dispense himself into us. And so this is why we have the word of God in Ephesians 6:18, which says that we need to pray at every time in spirit. And we need to use the proper faculty, which is our spirit, to pray to God. Just like you can't smell with your eyes or you can't hear with your nose, right? You have to use the proper organ. And so we need to use our spirit in prayer. Amen. Let's read two. Let's read two on the outline. I was just reminded of an example going back to the point of the man of God. You know, when we're living in our spirit, when we're exercising our spirit constantly, we're living the Lord out, and we become a testimony to others. And so, I was reminded of one of the students at the campus I serve on, and it's Isaac's one of his roommates who's an atheist, and he claims to be an atheist, even though he comes around us all the time, and he wants to be around us. Yeah, it's because he's around God. That's right. And so one day, one of the brothers was talking to him and trying to find out where he's at spiritually. And, you know, he grew up in a religious home, and he just got, over the years, was turned off by religion. And he just really hates religion, which is awesome. We hate religion too, but you know, in his mind, he relates religion with Christ, and so he really does not believe in Christ and believe in the Lord. But then this is what he said to this brother. He said, "If I would have met you guys before I started going to church with my parents and doing all these religious things, maybe I would have not been right. And to this day, I wouldn't be an atheist." You know, well, what is that? He said, "If I met you guys before, I wouldn't be an atheist today." Yeah, it means he believes at least a little bit, right? There's an opening. The gateway of his heart is starting to open up, right? And so we need to live out God. When we live out God, we live this godly life. This is a life of godliness. And so another example before we get to point B is... So we're going to do some exercising. We're going to practice here in a little bit. But when I was in junior high, I would call a brother every morning before going to school, and we would read this little book called Journey Through the Bible. Some of you guys may know. And, you know, there's a few verses there, and there's a ministry excerpt, and we would read it together. I was, you know, 11, 12 years old and, like, you know, calling this brother on the phone. And it was very short. It was like 5 minutes. We pray a little bit, read those verses, and then go off to school. And I'll just go off to school in my baggy shorts and baggy T-shirt. This is junior high, you know, and just go. And then, you know, I didn't feel much. But the Lord, little by little, like what Brother Ricky was sharing, do not belittle all of our experiences. Because little by little, the Lord is forming us, and he's conforming us to his image. And then in high school, an older brother, so before in junior high, a younger brother and I, we would pray together. But now in high school, an older brother, he was like in his 40s, and I was like 15. He would call me every morning, and we would pray. You know, we'd just pray and before I went to school. And then in college, this was an awesome experience. This brother, he would call me every morning, and very early in the morning. And I would pick up reluctantly, and I would, you know, he would call me. He's like, Amen, Brother Brian. And I'm just like, no, that was his voice, his tone. And I'm just trying to get my voice, you know, because it's early in the morning, I'm groggy. And I'm just like, amen, brother, amen. And what we would do is, you know, he was expecting I already had my individual time, you know, already. But I didn't. But what we would do was we would read the verses for that day. Well, first of all, we would read the outline portion of that day, pray read that outline portion for that day, and then we would go to the verses, pray read the verses for that day, and then read the gray part of that day, and then pray about it. So it was a real exercise on my part to just really be engaged and to enjoy, because after the first point, I just wanted to hang up and go to school, you know. But actually, it was a real encouragement to me because he taught me a lot of, he taught me how to have endurance, one, but in exercise, a lot of times, it's a muscle. Our spirit is a muscle, and it needs to be built up. And so if we, a perfect sign of having a weak spirit is if we're in a room and everyone is praying, and this happens to me, it may happen to a lot of us, and everyone is praying, and everyone goes around and prays once, and then all of a sudden, it stops. And it's like, and inwardly, you're like, I can't pray anymore. You know, that's it. Those few words that I had, it was enough. That may be a sign of having a weak spirit. You know, our muscle, our prayer muscle hasn't been developed yet. And so we need to exercise, right? Biceps, every part of our body, right, Matt? Every part of our body to have a some kind of living, a proper living. And so we're gonna do something. Okay, how about we turn to first, where's the verse? Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:6. Okay, and we're gonna read these 1, 6, and 7, and the brothers can read 6. And then the sisters can read 7. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. Okay, brothers, you got it? Read 6. Amen. So first, in this verse, we see we have a divine gift. And in verse 6, it says that the gift of God which is in you. And how do we know what is the gift of God? Well, it's in verse 7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit. So the divine gift that we have is our human spirit. And so what we're going to do, and this is what I do with one of the students that I take care of. He's not here. But what we do is we pray read, but we do this in this way, which we started doing, which I learned several years ago. It's called thank read, okay? Thank read. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to just add the word thank you to each word in verse 6, and you guys just repeat what I say, okay? Okay, amen? Thank you for which cause?
Thank you for which cause?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Which cause?
Which cause?
Thank you, Lord, you remind.
Thank you, Lord, you remind.
You remind.
You remind.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, which cause I remind you.
Thank you, which cause I remind you.
To fan. Thank you, Lord Fan.
Thank you, Lord Fan.
Thank you, Lord Fan.
Thank you, Lord Fan.
Fan into flame.
Fan into flame.
Lord, thank you, you fan.
Thank you, Lord Fan.
Into flame.
Into flame.
Oh, the gift of God.
Oh, the gift of God.
Thank you, I have a gift.
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 Thank you, Lord, you give me a gift.
Thank you, Lord, you give me a gift.
The gift of God,
the gift of God,
which is in you,
which is in you.
Thank you, Lord, it's in me.
Thank you, Lord, it's in me.
Amen. And you can do that throughout the whole verse. And, you know, when we do this on the phone, at first, he didn't even know what to, you know, how to do it. And so we went step by step just by getting one word. Thank you for. Thank for. Thank, you know, because it takes time to build up even this matter of thanking the Lord and thank reading. And afterwards, when we did it, he was on the phone and there was a pause. And he just said, wow. He just said, wow. And now every time, even if we're at the Lord's Day meeting on Sunday, you know, we're singing a song, and he would just turn to me, and he would just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the table. You know, he just say these things because he's learned how to thank read. This is prayer reading. We need to thank the Lord in everything. Amen. You know, there's in 2 Timothy 3, 3:2, there's this verse in 2 Timothy 3:2. It says, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We need to be thankful people. Amen. Even when we're singing a hymn, you know, we don't need to try to compose so much, a wonderful sentence. Just get a line and just thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, fill my spirit up. Thank you, Lord. You fill my spirit up. You know, be very simple in our love towards the Lord and our praise towards the Lord. Okay, how about we read B, 1, 2, and 3. Brothers, B, sisters, 1, brothers, 2, and all together, 3.
Our spirit needs to be stirred up.
Amen. Okay, very quickly, here it talks about Ezra. And in Ezra, there are four crucial points in the book of Ezra. And this is related to our spirit. Again, our spirit is not just to, you know, enjoy the Lord, be happy, but we're here to fulfill God's purpose.
Amen.
And so our divine gift, our spirit, is to fulfill God's purpose.
Amen.
And the four crucial points, which it happened with the children of Israel, they were being delivered and recovered from their captivity to return. To return. And so the first point is that they returned and they were recovered for God's testimony. Okay? They returned, they recovered for God's testimony. The second one is that they were recovered to be one, to return to Jerusalem and to enter into the oneness. Third is that they were recovered to enter into the good land to enjoy. So their enjoyment was recovered. And four is that God's intention was also recovered to build a house and to establish his kingdom on earth. And so this is to fulfill God's purpose. And so today, when we're in our spirit, what? We testify of God. We're one with God. We enjoy God. And what? We fulfill his intention to build a house and to establish the kingdom on the earth today. Isn't that awesome? And so our spirit, the divine gift, is so awesome. And lastly, let's all read C together. And I'll say one more thing of C, but let's read it together.
When we exercise our spirit, what we do is not a mere outward performance or form, but a display of a genuine godliness with an inward power. This power, which comes from the inward exercise of our spirit, is a real practical virtue with a living influence to express God.
Amen. And so in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and 47, it says that Mary says this, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has exalted in God my Savior. And so here we see that in the enjoyment of the Lord, our spirit has to take the lead. It says, my spirit has exalted. And so it signifies that her spirit was exercised, and then her soul followed. And so in our daily life, in our meeting life, in our church life, our spirit needs to take the lead and subdue our soul. And by our spirit taking the lead, our soul will follow our spirit to magnify the Lord. And so living God out and expressing God in the meetings and in our daily life won't be a performance, but it would be a genuine living of God. It'll be genuine godliness, right? Godliness is a living that expresses the divine reality, an expression of God in all his riches, full of all gravity. Okay, amen.
All right. Hallelujah for our spirit.
Amen.
We have a gift of God in our spirit.
Amen.
I'm so happy for Brian sharing that he gave us so many ways, right? We could exercise our spirit. And the result of such an exercise is really godliness,
Amen.
Right? God, what is godliness? Simply, godliness is it's a living that expresses God,
Amen.
Right? So my focus in my speaking is not so much on our exercising of our spirit in the meetings or whenever we gather, but that this will continue in our living, right? It's good that we're here. I love it. It helps me to exercise. We're learning and practicing, right, to exercise. But once we go back to our campuses or our homes, it gets a little bit more difficult, right? And it takes a little bit more willpower, more from within, not from hourly, but we need to just continue to practice, right? We shouldn't drop all that we've heard and all that we've enjoyed here, right? So my section is on walking according to the Spirit. We can't walk according to the Spirit unless we exercise our spirit, first of all. That's why Brian emphasized so much on exercising. Just like we exercise our physical body, we need to exercise our spirit to make our spirit the strongest part of our being, right? And our soul will follow. It spreads into our soul, right? But considering this matter of walking, I was thinking, oh, Lord, walking. In a sense, we walk everywhere. It's a very necessary and essential aspect of our living. The moment we wake up, we walk to the bathroom, walk to our kitchen, we walk to school, we walk everywhere. But we're not so conscious of where we're walking, right? I'm walking one step after another. I'm not, so conscious of it. And it reminded me of this app, actually. I have an app that kind of tracks my steps. And by the end of the day, it tells me how many steps I walked, how far I walked. And I realized I walked from 0.5 miles a day to 9.9 miles a day, which is an outlier. But I realize 1 mile, it's about 2,500 steps. I know it's early in the morning. I'm not doing math here I'm trying to prove a point, okay? Just follow me, okay? So it takes about 2,500 steps per mile, and average, one day average was about 2.5 miles a day. So how many is that, Hanley? 2.5 miles. Somewhere around 6,000, okay? 6,000, however many steps, and I was wondering, okay, walking according to our spirit, 6,000, however many steps. Oh, Lord, I don't think I walk according to my spirit for all that steps, right? But we have an app, which is our spirit. It reminds us, right? We can always turn to our spirit. So anyway, how about we all read Roman numeral 2 together?
We need to walk.
Jeremy, stand up for me. Can you read again with a strong spirit from the Christian walk to the end? The second part.
Christian walk. Amen. The Christian life.
Amen.
The Christian activity.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, keep going.
It's not according to the standard.
It's what?
Of good and bad.
It's what?
It's not according.
It's not according. Amen. Right? Okay.
It's not according to the standard of good and bad.
Amen.
Absolutely according to the Spirit.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Tim, can you say it? Can you stand up without looking at it?
Amen. The Christian walk.
Amen. Amen.
Christian activity.
Amen. Amen.
Christian life.
Amen.
It's not according to the standard of good
That's
and bad.
That's right. It's not.
But absolutely according to our spirit.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Circle not. Not according to the standard of good and bad. And circle absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. Right? It's according to our spirit. You know, Romans 8:4 tells us that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to our spirit, right? Brother Kim mentioned a few nights ago that all the requirements, the righteous requirements that God has on man can be fulfilled in us, right? To those who walk according to the spirit. And this happens spontaneously. It's not according to the standard of good and evil. It's not according to what we do out of ourselves, or what we think is right. It's not, you're in the wrong realm, right? It's not the right or wrong, good or bad. It's not according to what you do outwardly, but it's absolutely according to the Spirit, right? Just wanna, and we could fulfill this spontaneously. Aren't you glad we don't have to, like, strive and, like, you know, toil to meet the requirement?
Amen.
Like, this is possible.
Amen.
You guys should be encouraged,
Amen.
Right? And so what does this look like, though, in our daily living? I think that's where my burden is. What does this look like? I know we're here. It's easy for us. We have a set singing time to exercise our spirit. We have a set morning time to contact the Lord. We're getting into the Word. It's easy when we're gathered together. But what does this look like in our daily life, right? And I was looking back in my experiences, and some points that I want to mention is that to walk according to the Spirit, first, I realized that we have to really take care of our conscience. I know conscience is the main function of our spirit. Just a couple days ago, last week, a couple days before I came to the college training, I was doing laundry, okay? And as I opened the washer, I saw about 7 quarters in there. Yeah. You know, all right, to do laundry where I live is not cheap, okay? It's $2.25 to do washing and $2.25 to dry. So it's quite pricey, okay? So I opened it, and I see someone must have washed it with pocket change, you know, and then they must have forgotten it. So I'm like, whoa, you know? 7 quarters, that covers more than half of my wash it, you know? Thank you, Lord, you know? But as soon as I was like, whoa, as soon as I picked it, I tried to count the quarters. I'm like, the Lord, my conscience just perked in me. I don't, right. I'm like, and I didn't like it. Honestly, it's 7 quarters or 7 or 6 quarters. It's not $100 or $1,000. It's only 7 quarters. And yet my conscience perked in my being. So guess what I did? I used it anyway. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. It was so. Lord. It's okay. It's okay. In our Christian walk, what I'm trying to prove is that in our Christian walk, we have many failures, okay? But we should not be discouraged, okay? Because the moment I used it, the moment I put it in, pressed the button, I had this feeling of unrest, no peace whatsoever. And that was even stronger than the perking of my conscience, you know? And here I am trying to get ready for the college training, try to be in good spirit, you know? And yet I had no rest. It's as simple as that. You know, in our daily life, small things, the Lord touches us in the small things. But a lot of times we ignore our conscience. But thank the Lord. The Lord is gracious to not let us go, right? And this feeling comes, and we have to honor it. And so I repented before the Lord. Lord, 7 quarters? Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. It's the Lord spoke to me and said, it's not, when I try to justify, you know, we always try to justify it, Lord. If I don't use it, someone else is going to use it. And I'm sure they're not going to, and I'm sure they're not going to feel as bad as I am, right? But he's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm talking about you. You shouldn't do it. Who cares about other people? You shouldn't do it, right? It's very personal. It's a very personal speaking. So anyway, that's one example that we have to take care of our conscience in our daily life, right? This allows us to have such a walk, right? Clear of our conscience according to our spirit, right? We can't cloudy up our conscience. Then there is no walk, right? So another example is this matter. Recently, for a few months, the Lord has been touching me a little bit about the way I speak to people. I'm very rough. I don't know why. Maybe it's my upbringing. For whatever reason, I'm very rough in my way of speaking. Okay. A lot of times when I speak to my wife, I'm not very good at saying the right thing when someone's upset, right? I don't know. It's hard, you know? I'm still learning. I mean, it's like I feel like every time if I say something, it's a lose-lose situation, whatever I say. So anyway, the point is that, you know, during that time, I'm just contacting the Lord. Lord, what do I say? Lord Jesus, just listen. Just listen. What do I say? I'm just fellowshipping, right? And sometimes I say, I'm sorry. And sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't. But the point is that I have rest, right? When you tell the Lord, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of what is going on outwardly, it may still be the same, but inwardly we have rest, right? And that's really taking care of our conscience and our spirit, right? Just contacting the Lord. So, amen. And another way to take care of our walk is to tell the Lord, I love you. It's very easy for us to say, oh, you should love the Lord. Yeah, amen, that sounds good, right? I love the Lord. We should love the Lord, right? But you need to tell the Lord you love him, right? Do you open your mouth and tell the Lord you love him? Or are you just like, inwardly just like, amen, amen. But you need this is a practice to exercise our spirit, right? We're practicing. We need to tell the Lord, even from the moment we wake up. Do you guys know how Genesis ends? In a coffin. And a lot of times when we wake up from our bed in the morning, we're in a coffin, okay? It's not easy, but it requires exercise. And we need to, the moment we wake up, we just tell the Lord. This morning, I woke up at 5:30 because of this. But you know what? And believe it or not, Brother Ricky shared that your mind just get cluttered up. You know, you're just like, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. But I came to a point where I had to just drop everything. Oh, Lord, I don't care about anything. I just want to tell you that I love you. Amen. That's an exercise. That's a spiritual push-up right there, right? So anyway, we're all learning. But the best way, the simplest and the best way to live a life according to the Spirit is to just tell the Lord we love him. And I'm not saying, it's not like it's a law. We don't just come to the meeting and we shout, hallelujah, I love you, Lord Jesus. Yes, there's a place and time for that. But even when you're going to class, right, throughout the day, you can't just say, oh, Lord, I love you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Before you take an exam, Lord Jesus, I love you. I want to take this exam with you, you know. Take the test with Jesus. We could just speak to the Lord. Tell the Lord. Open your mouth and tell the Lord. This is an exercise. Before we go to bed, tell the Lord, thank you. I had a rough day. Lord, I'm tired, but I still love you, you know. Amen. This will turn your heart, right? The motivation comes from our love for the Lord, like this morning, right? So that's another example that will help us to have such a living. And another example is this matter of our eating. We live by eating him. This is mentioned in John 6, right? He who eats me, he also shall live because of me. Far too often, I don't take care of my eating. Now, some of you that know me, I love to snack, okay? Sometimes to the extreme where I like to just kill two bags of ghost pepper chips because I eat it right away. It's like ghost pepper chips. It's from Trader Joe's. It's really good. But I just eat it. I don't know where I'm going with this actually, but sooner or later I feel sick. You know, the feeling that I get after I eat it, while, you know, I get sick. But when we walk, when we eat the word, right, the verses in 63, the words which I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And whenever we eat the word is just spontaneously operating in you. When we eat something, we don't think about, oh, are my organs functioning? Okay, it's going down my esophagus, going into my stomach, and now the acids are breaking down my, are we conscious of it? Do we think about it?
No.
It's very spontaneous, right? So it's not according to our feeling, you know? It's not like, sometimes we read the word, we pray, read the word, and you feel like you're not getting anything. But you are. It's operating in you, okay? It's something very spontaneous, right? And a lot of times, you do have a sense of feeling, right? The sense of life and peace. You feel satisfied, right? He said, the words, if you eat the words that which I have spoken to you are spirit and life. You know what the life, what life is included in? Let's read the Roman numerals. Maybe we could read A together, and then brothers can read one, and then sisters can read two, and then it shows us. Our Christian life. Amen. So these are indications, right? And I'm sure we've all felt, you know, weak. Have you ever felt weak?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. On campus, you know, when you're in your schoolwork, in your life, wherever in life you are, we all felt weak. We're weak vessels. Have you felt empty? I remember when I was in college, we had a kind of a birthday thing. For my birthday, we went out. And my birthday is during Thanksgiving. So, like, my parents go to this conference during Thanksgiving. And so I got the house to myself. So, anyway, we were, you know, having fun for my birthday, just birthday party. And the moment, okay, we had a good time. We had a great time. And then the moment I came to my room to sleep, mere 31 hour after we had a great time, this feeling of emptiness. Oh, it's real. You know, these things that we think that are joyful, that we think are fun, man, when it comes down to it, you feel so empty. You know, all the joys that we have in this world are very temporary. But don't you want real joy?
Amen.
Don't you want pure joy?
Amen.
Where is this pure joy? It's in our spirit. And we have to learn to exercise our spirit, to contact that spirit, right? To break through in our mind, emotion, and will, right? Amen. And I'll add more to the sub-points. In Galatians 5, there's the fruit of joy. I mean, fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, love, peace, you know, all these aspects. I'm not very sentimental, okay? So it's hard for me to love someone that I don't see eye to eye with. It's for all of us, you know, we have people that we're close to and some people that it's kind of hard to be around. But are we going to just stay in that condition? You know, it's not a pleasant feeling, you know. This matter, like, someone, I had an experience where one of my roommates, oh, man, he has certain habits that it was very hard for me to like that person. And every time I come into the room, we're in the same space, the feeling of death. arises in my being. And this is an indication. And I don't like it. And you guys shouldn't like it when you guys feel all these. Actually, there's a fruit, the works of flesh also mentioned in Galatians 5 are jealousy, outbursts of anger, envy, wickedness, all these feelings that may come up in you. And I'm like, in myself, there's no way I could love this person. There's no way. We have nothing in common. He has weird habits, and I just can't love him. But I wasn't content with this feeling of death within me, right? We have to break through. Tell the Lord, Lord, I need your love.
Amen.
I need this feeling of life and peace. Lord, come in. It's not that I can love, but you and me can love this person. Don't you want that kind of love? Don't you want that kind of joy? Right? And this is not like, the point I want to make is that all these things happens very spontaneous. When we take care of our conscience, when we take care of our telling the Lord that we love him, moment by moment, when we take care of our eating, all these things just spontaneously happen, right? It's awesome,
Amen.
Right? And we maybe we could just read through B together and then just alternate brothers, sister, brothers on the 3 points.
When
we walk according to our spirit, spontaneously we walk according to the Holy Spirit, because the two spirits are one.
In our daily living as Christians, we need to have two kinds of walk by the Spirit.
So in Galatians 5, we see there's two kinds of walk that we need to have in our Christian life, right? The one is a peripateo, which is the daily walk that I've been sharing about in the previous points, right? All the small things in that we go through in our daily life, we need to take care of our walk, right? And then the second kind of walk is a stoicheo walk, which is a walk with a purpose, right? We're not, it's good, I think, for us to walk according to our spirit. But this is not so much for us to, it's not so much for us, right? A lot of Christians just have this kind of walk and that's it. Amen. They have this kind of walk. But it's kind of aimless. It's just, it's proper, but it's aimless. But in Galatians 5, it clearly shows us that there is a second kind of walk. We are a people that knows God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
Our walk is according to fulfill God's eternal purpose. Right? Yesterday we sang the song, Until We All Arrive.
Amen.
There's a goal in view, right? In our walk. We should have this kind of aspiration.
Amen.
Not that we only walk according to this in our daily living, but that we would have a walk to fulfill God's eternal purpose. So I want to just give a couple more examples. Sometimes we get discouraged thinking that how can you walk or live according to the Spirit, everything that you do in your daily life, how can it be? How can you speak, think, act, move? How can you be in your spirit for all those things? Well, I want to give you two examples. First, in the New Testament, we have Paul, right? Paul, for him to say, to me to live is Christ, I mean, he had an experience of such a walk that, I mean, he had a goal in view, right? And he dictated him every step of his life, whether he was in prison or not, whether he's going up or down, he was always one who's exercising his spirit to live in his spirit, right? So it's possible. And before Paul, he was Saul, right? And we shouldn't be encouraged, no matter how bad we think we are, how much of a failure we are. I mean, Paul killed Christians. Have you killed Christians? No. So, no, I hope. Anyway, so we should all be encouraged that this is something possible, right? This is something attainable. And second person that I wanted to give you an example of is in the Old Testament, Enoch. Enoch is a, you know, Enoch was a mortal, frail human being just like you and I, right? And he had a wife, he had kids, I'm sure he had a lot of failures. But you know what Enoch did? He walked with God day and night for 300 years. 300 years. Can you believe that? And in Hebrews, we see that Enoch was the one who he followed, he walked with God in faith, believing that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Amen.
So he had a vision, right? He had a vision, and that dictated everything that he did in his normal daily life, right? So, and do you guys know what happened to Enoch? Got raptured. You know, I'm not asking you guys we have to walk with God for 300 years. You know, let's start with our college years. 4 years, it's nothing. It's doable. How about after the four, it becomes easier? 10 years, 20 years, right? And
Amen.
We could also be raptured.
Amen.
I won't talk too much about that, but we can be raptured, especially in this day and age. We can be raptured. But first, let us take care of our daily walk, right? We should really take care of our conscience. Tell the Lord we love him moment by moment, right? Eat the word. We live because we eat him, right?
Amen.
By eating him.
Amen.
So, all right. So maybe we could just end with us all reading the focus.